How are you entrepreneurs? Today we have Marilena Ruiz. So she was a ballerina. Her mom kind of pushed her into this platform at a young age. And it's actually interesting. We talk about the idea that her mom pushed her into this platform, and now she coaches and she trains other ballerinas after a major injury. And she talks about how parents, the idea of pushing someone into this platform has really kind of gone by the wayside, I think, with a lot of the newer people that she's kind of brought on. But yeah, please subscribe, please share, listen to the story. I'd love to hear your feedback.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Marilena Ruiz. You are the co-owner of Cary Ballet Conservatory and also... You're in essence a coach, right?
Yes,
a trainer?
I am the director of the professional training program at the Cary Ballet Conservatory, which is the side of the school that focuses on creating professional classical ballet dancers.
And you've won a couple awards in this.
Yeah, it's been a couple. Since we created this program in 2015, we have Youth America Grand Prix. It's the biggest network and competition for classical ballet in the world. And it's also, it is the biggest network and organization of ballet. And we've won Outstanding School for 3 years in a row, 2016, 17, and 18. And then in 2019, I won the Outstanding Teacher Award in the finals, which is the worldwide finals in New York City.
So what's, like, you've done fairly well in this profession. Have you always wanted to be someone that taught?
No, I would say, you know, teaching saved me and teaching found me. I think dancers have to be ready to teach. You have to kind of put your own career on the side. You have to put your ego on the side. You have to not be the center of the middle of the room anymore. And it's not about you. It's about giving all your knowledge and all your inspiration and everything that you've learned to your students. I had some things that happened that kind of made that transition happen a little bit quicker. I had an injury that was pretty bad. I had an infection on my bone in my big toe, and I ended up going home for Thanksgiving break. I was on tour, and the doctor, they took me immediately to the operating room, and they had to do a lot of surgeries, and I had to have antibiotics because the infection was in the bone. So it was about a year before I could dance again. I mean, the doctor even said that if it didn't go well, I would have to learn how to walk again because he would have to take that part out and put a, there were really bad case scenarios. So I also was going through a lot of personal problems at the time. And I kind of put myself into that mental mode that I really focused on my work and what I wanted to do. And it made me a better teacher. It started me, I was just teaching part-time as a job that I did when I didn't dance full-time. And I started realizing that it was a passion that I really wanted to do.
All right, so there's a lot of nuggets right there to kind of take away from that. So that had to be, like, what happened there for that big infection to happen with your big toe?
Dancers have a very tolerance to pain, and this was an amazing opportunity. I was dancing with the Kennedy Center at the Suzanne Farrow Ballet. We were touring all over the United States. The season was very packed, and it was something that was, you know, a dream come true. Working with her, she was one of George Balanchine's muses, and I've learned so much for her, from her, and she was one of my big mentors. So I just didn't want to miss anything. So I thought I could manage what was going on. What was we thought was an ulcer. It started as a blister in my big toe, in the big joint, the big toe joint. It was an ulcer that had already gone all the way inside, and the bone is so close to the skin there. I was very lucky. The doctor said I could have had a blood infection. The bone infection was bad enough, but they were able to work with it. And unfortunately, I became allergic to, I had a very bad reaction to the first set of antibiotics. So they had to start over with the second set of antibiotics. So 6 weeks had gone by, and then I had to, with the treatment, I had a PICC line, and I had to walk around with the whole, I mean, it was pretty, pretty intense. So they had.
I didn't realize how much they went through this. Yeah. I didn't realize how much of a strength there was that's like on a constant basis. So our most like, there's a saying in football, are you injured or are you hurt? And so is there a lot of
absolutely
time
that's a great way to say it. Yeah, that's what we say. Is it pain from work or are you injured or are you hurt? Absolutely. Yeah, this was beyond. It was just an amount of events that went from one thing to the other. At the same time, I was very, very lucky that that it was just what it, that they caught it on time. I mean, I had been going through this for 2 months on tour. So every time that I would get on the plane, my foot would blow up. So we would go to the emergency room. They would give me antibiotics, but they couldn't get in there because it looked like a blister until somebody that knows, like an orthopedic, you know, doctor that would go in and realize what was going on. So yeah, they took me immediately to the OR, and I was very lucky, very lucky.
So, how many people that you train have some sort of injury throughout the process? Like, how many of them is it consistently?
We're going through that a lot. The thing is, it's hard, especially from a program. There are two sides of it. You're an artistic athlete. You're an athlete. They're athletes. They're going to get hurt. Ballet is not natural. You have to train the muscles to turn out. So you have to start young enough to get that flexibility. But you have to, you know, you have to have alignment. Your knee has to be aligned with your toe, and with your hip has to be aligned, and the strength has to be there. And so it has to be so many things that have to click in order for it to be perfect all the time. And it's not. You're human and you're an artist, you know, things happen. And in a program like ours, that some of them are trained through our school, which is great. We get them since they're young, but some of them come to us from other schools. So when we kind of mix trainings, not that their training was bad, but when we start kind of erasing what they had and fix what they have, and add the amount of hours that we have in the program and all of that. Sometimes, and they're young, I mean, we're talking, some of the kids are 14. They're still growing, a lot of things happening. A lot of growing pains, a lot of growing injuries. We have like two or three in booths right now that doctors are just having them rest. And it happens in the beginning of the school year a lot. And then they build strength, a lot of physical therapy, a lot of mental strength, and realizing that it's not going to be the last time or the first time or the last time. And
so you almost have to be not necessarily training their body, but you're training their mind too, to stay positive and fight through again.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to be a little bit of a parent, a little bit of a teacher, a little bit of a life coach, a little bit of everything. And I think you just put all your knowledge in all those things, you know, make it available to them. At the same time, I'm not a doctor. So I can just tell them, you know, I think that you are doing this and you have, you know, upgraded your hours, you upgraded your training and all of that. So I want you to go see this physical therapist and I want you to go see the doctor, because if it's not something that you can ice and come back tomorrow and you've already had it for 2-3 days, it's, you know, I'm not a doctor. So we send them to the people that support, you know, that would support us. The same thing with, you know, if they're having issues, if we get them that they're away from home, or, you know, it's something that it's new to them because it's so many hours or so many hours of training, a lot of mental work. And I will also say, you know, from my experience, you're going through this and this, and this is what I can help you with. But then I send them to the best support that they're, you know, that I can find for them as well. I know how much I can do, and how far I can get. So we have a good team, of people around us that kind of get this whole thing going.
Well, I'd love to jump back into your start. So how did you get into
It is a LA? Very like, funny story. People think, you know, that it's all, you know, it was a calling and all that. It really wasn't. I had flat feet. You know, I didn't have arches in my feet. And my mom took me to the doctor. I had orthopedic boots. My legs were very hyperextended. So I had like this metal things that attached to my boots. Think Forrest, you know, the movie Forrest Gump, a little bit like that. And, you know, the doctor said, you're going to have to put her in a sport or something that activates the muscles in her feet so that we can, you know, that with the orthopedic boots and everything that we can get those muscles stronger. So it's either ballet or gymnastics. And my mom was like, ballet. She always wanted to be a ballerina. So we had the best school at the time in our hometown in Caracas. With Nina Novak, she was the prima ballerina of the one major company in Russia and the Ballet Russe of Monte Carlo. And I started in her school, and you know, I just didn't know who she was. My mom did, but that was, you know, that was the school that I started with at.
Did because you said that your mom always wanted to be a ballerina. And then you became a ballerina and then so on and so forth. Kind of, was there ever anything that, this is not my dream, this is my mom's?
You know, I go through that a lot now because the generations have changed. This is an art form that has a shelf life. And I look back now, and if my mother did not give me the training and the exposure and everything that she gave me at the age that I did have it, I would not have had the career that I have. Because you don't find your calling, some people do, I'm saying from my experience, at 12. And 12 is a very, 12, 14, 15, 16, it's a very important age in this business, in this art form. So, you know, we go through it with our parents here at the school and just like, well, you know, they're not sure this is what they want to do. And we're talking about amazing talent. I mean, we see great talent and we are just torn with the situation that the parent will not push the child. It's not that I want them to be pushed, but know what their future can be and give them the training. And then when you're 18, 19, 20, you can decide for yourself, because right now, you know, or find some kind of middle ground with that. I have to say that my mom, it wasn't my calling. It's not that I hated it. I was good at it. I was also doing piano professionally. I was supposed to become a professional concert pianist. So both things were pulling. Both parents were pulling for the different, one was pulling for the ballet and the other one was pulling for the piano. And piano was a lot easier, I have to say. Not that I was more talented, but it was a lot easier. And ballet was challenging. I was taller, my legs were hyperextended, I had very flexible feet. So even though I was very talented, I had to really work. So yes, to answer your question, my mom decided a lot when I was younger. Not that I didn't have a say. I wasn't getting abused or neglected or anything like that, but she wanted me to have the skills to then be able to make that decision, which is what we find now. We get these amazing kids and the parents, don't want to push them. And when they become 18, 19, 20, it's too late. And now even more than my generation, because dancers are better and younger, So
Why do you think that is? That
I
basically when you
don't
were
know. I
younger.
think that it's a generational thing. What we find with that too is that kids get burned. You have what you call like child actors that start so early and then they get burned out so early. So that happens a lot too, I must say. But you get these amazing talents that do it that are in companies at 16, 17, 18. They're already in the core and then they become principals at 21, 22. They're getting better and younger. They're getting better and younger. So if you want to be competitive, I don't mean competitive as competition. I mean competitive to get a job or a scholarship. You have to know that you're going for the same jobs and the same scholarships with these kids that are doing it 8 hours, 10 hours a day. So you can't compete for the same scholarship, even though you're even more talented, but these kids are working it. They're working and they're getting the exposure and they're getting the training and they're going out there and doing it. So that's why they're waiting. Sometimes it just fades. It fades away that the dancer just doesn't happen.
So, being yourself, that you were a rising star in this field, and then you got injured, and then you switched over to actually training ballerinas of the future, in essence, coaching ballerinas of the future. That had to be very difficult. When I've talked to people in the past that have been athletes themselves, and then ventured into training, and you kind of talked about it briefly, you kind of have to give up your own essence dream, but find it
I
almost
was very
immediately.
lucky that this happened at the end of my career. I was already in my 30s. So I was very
Okay.
lucky that the transition would have happened eventually. I just, like I said before, I just didn't have the passion for teaching. My passion was dance. My passion was this company I was in, working with this amazing director, and focusing on myself. I knew that the clock was ticking. Because it was 35 at the time. I was very lucky that it
So
happened when it happened, and I came back from a year after to do one last performance. And then I said, I'm done. But it was on my terms, kind of, I said, I'm done, but I want to come, I came back from that injury.
how did you do it, or what was the mindset that allowed you to switch over? I know you were kind of almost forced into it, yet there still has to be some kind of mindset. Because you're good at what you do. You've won awards. You know, I mean, training and coaching ballerinas. Like, I mean, there has to be some
I
passion there
think
now.
the what happened was with the injury, I had to start to learn pretty much how to walk. I became like this prune in the pool trying to get my mobility back. Like, of course, the doctors tell you it would be good for you to go in the pool and try to get your mobility back maybe once a week. Once a week, I was there every day, that kind of thing. So because I had to retrain myself to walk, to know what first position was, I had to retrain myself from scratch. That's how I started looking at this, like, oh, because I had to retrain my mistakes too. Like, look, this is not going to be good for my recovery because my foot is not aligned the right way, or because I'm not doing this correctly. Look, I always did this because I was flexible, but now I have to do it more correct and stuff like that. So with all that transition, I learned so much that I started wanting to share it with others. And I'm a big believer that your base has to be very strong. You can't be Shakespeare if you don't know the alphabet. You have to without, you know, if not, I mean, artistic freedom comes because your base is so strong that you can do anything. Picasso doesn't happen because he starts flailing on a and make a painting like that. It has so much structure that you have so much freedom from it.
So do you think that you would be as good of a coach, a trainer,
no,
if you didn't get injured?
Absolutely not. Huh. I think it was a blessing in disguise. I did not see it until now. Until of course now, but until then.
Yeah.
And not even then, because it has been a process. I'm seeing it, yeah, I would say like maybe 5 years ago I started seeing it. Because I started kind of dissecting how I was doing things and how I, you know, you have to be structured, but at the same time, I would say it's when I came here that I realized also, because I was so sure of my vision. I was so sure of what I wanted to do that I thought that I was transferring it from the best school where I was, and I was just transferring it here. And it wasn't the same. I had to be flexible. I had to be fluid. It was a whole set of people. It was a whole set of dynamics. And I could have been the best at what I was doing, but I wasn't. I had to kind of, you know, show myself, or, you know, prove myself to all these people as well. I mean, they had read the magazines, they saw the art, you know, everything that I had done, but I hadn't done it here. So I had to kind of be fluid and flexible with that. I learned a lot.
So what do you think, maybe one or two like hurdles that you've really had to kind of like overcome and fight for?
I would say the two things that we just mentioned, the injury, coming back to dance after that and what it taught me.
Did you think that when you got injured that you'd give up dance at all? Was there any idea in your head that you
dance,
might give
like
up dance?
Like I wouldn't even teach it or anything? No,
altogether.
That's a great question. No, I just didn't know that I would get so passionate about teaching at that, not that, and that I would be good at it. You know, it just kind of started developing. I started learning. I became a student again, and I think and I become a student a lot. I mean, we are constantly learning. I have to be constantly learning how to approach things. So that would be the first one. And I would say the second one was moving here and buying this, co-owning this, the school. For the reasons that I told you, that being flexible and fluid, to develop a team that it's on the same page. Like I said before, I was so sure that I was so excited and everything that I was bringing, but it wasn't really, you know, I had to prove it with results. I hadn't had those results here, you know.
And how's the hiring process too? Because you're in a different country, and like I talked to a trainer here, and he was from Brazil, and he was like the level of education that I receive compared to what people receive here, what's required here, is totally different. So I didn't know the hiring process. He's still trying to figure it out.
Well,
now,
yes, I'm co-owner, so there was, when I came here, the school was already established. So I kind of had to work with what we had at the time. We did some two hirings at the time because the professional program required more hours. So we needed an extra, the school needed two teachers anyway. But we had to like kind of move the hours and develop the program from scratch because the school didn't have anything like that. So that was the challenge, you know, creating that team, selling the vision to your team, being so clear that you are so clear, but they have to buy it. Like, okay. And that doesn't happen overnight. And that was one of the things that I thought, because I was so clear that it's like, this is going to happen right away. And, you know, that's one of my learning experiences. I have to be patient. I have to be patient with how things happen. And I have to be patient with people. I have to be patient with our students. I mean, you know, you go from A to B, it doesn't happen overnight. I would say those have been the two challenges, you know. You just dig in and you work your butt off, and because you have this vision and this clear, it's so clear in my gut what can happen and what did happen, that your team, you know, goes along with you. The students go along with you, and they see it, and they are part of this amazing experience.
So this question right here that I have is, because you've excelled as a dancer and you excel as a teacher, how, if you could look at your younger self, right, that dancer, how would she compare to your students that you currently coach? Would she be in the middle of the pack, or the higher of the pack, lower in the pack?
You know, I said this in an interview, that one of the things I am good at, and I just by belief, is that I believe in the people that would fall through the cracks. There's a say in this business that, you know, when you are this amazing talent, that you're going to dance even if you train at the 7-Eleven. You know, that's an East Coast thing. The 7-Eleven, like, I don't know what you guys have on the West Coast, like a convenience store. Yeah. So, but there are those talents that, unless they have a teacher that believes in them, a coach that believes in them, they would fall through the cracks. And that those are the ones that I'm an expert in. I have some gut feeling, I have some instinct that just sees them and can point them out. And I think those are, I mean, my old bosses at the Rock School in Philadelphia, they would give me, I was like, well, I want to try this with this person and this person. And they're like, okay. They will look at me like, okay, you do your thing. And 3 months later, I mean, these kids would be winning competitions and, you know, and all this stuff. And they're like, how did this happen? I have this. And if it's it has to be a team. I can't want it more than them, you know? So I'm very forward. I said, you know, I have this vision. I think you can do this. But you know, you got to help me help you. We got to do this and this and this and this. So those are the ones that I'm very, very interested in. It's been great that I've trained amazing stars. I love that, and they have, you know, it's just different. I would be in the middle of the pack. So, I think I was taller. I was different, but I had this amazing will and wanted to prove myself. I actually, there's a story on every magazine, and that I tell. I actually, when I started in pre-ballet, I was about 8, and a year, maybe 6 months later, I started looking at the intermediate class, which is the one above me, from the door. And instead of taking my class, I would stay by the door and learned. In this particular school, it's called Vaganova training. You have the same class. You know, so all the dancers know the class, and they go through choreography and stuff like that. So I learned it from the door, and I put myself in that class the following week. I had already 6 months of just pre-ballet, and they couldn't tell until my mom went to pay tuition, and the secretary said, I haven't seen her. It wasn't the secretary, I'm sorry. It was the pre-ballet teacher. She, I haven't seen her. Where is she? And she was like, I drop her off 3 times a week. And then they go to the other studio, and there I was. They, of course, removed me from that class, and they taught me a lesson. They put me back in my class. So, you know, there were consequences. But I've had that, you know, I have that drive, you know.
where did that come from?
Well, if I think about how I thought back then, it's like, okay, they're better than me. I want to be with those. You know, I want to be with the better ones. I want to be with the ones that do all this stuff because I want to be like them. I didn't realize they were 3 years older than me, 2-3 years. And that's a big difference. I was taller and I had, you know, potential and facility and I could learn really fast and all that. But 3 years in training makes a big difference. So I stayed with that after they moved me back to Pre-Ballet. They moved me probably a month or 2 weeks later back to a little bit more advanced class. And I had to fight to keep up. And then they kept me with that group all along. So I had to really always work, you know. So I don't know where it comes from. I think I always wanted to be, I had a passion for, you know, for striving, for being better, for learning, for being with the best, for being with people that were better than me, people that were doing more than me. So
let's say that girl that was injured, that was in the hospital with her big toe, what kind of advice would you give her at that moment when she found out that she has to get like surgery and so on and so forth?
Yeah. Keep working at it. You know, when one door closes, another one opens. Stay flexible, stay open. Things are gonna work out. Keep your passion. It's going to be okay. Do your work your butt off, and miracles happen after you work your butt off.
What's next? What's next for you, for the company?
Well, we are continuing to develop the professional program. It's 4 years old. We've been in the cover of magazines, not only me, but some of the dancers trained through the program have been mentioned with the top of the world. So keeping that high achievement, you know, it probably is going to level off. I just want to continue creating, you know, great dancers, giving them exposure, giving them opportunities. I want the rest of the school, the whole school, to do well and continue to get better and better and stronger. I want our team to work together and be cohesive and be all on the same page. And I want to continue to inspire the next generation of dancers, even if you're going to be a professional dancer or not. You training with the best and training with the mindset of doing it well and at your best. It doesn't matter if you're going to be the next star, the professional dancer, or if you're going to be the next president of Microsoft. You'll know if you had good training, and you'll know that you strived, you know, within this art form, and that can teach you a lot.
So if, let's say, someone is looking to strive to be their best, how would they find your studio? How would they find, basically, to be part of your, I mean, to at least apply to be part of your
Well, our community. Website is carryballet.com. My website is my name, marielenaruiz.com. We have auditions throughout the year. You know, we have auditions that we have during the year at the studio, but we also take video auditions. So we take video auditions throughout the whole school year. We also have a summer program where it's 6 to 7 weeks from June to August. We have a lot of dancers from all over the world that come to that, and we choose from there as well. We have a bridge program in the afternoon for the dancers that are not. The professional program is all day, so they have the academics within the school. And but the ones that go to regular school, we have a bridge program in the afternoon to give them enough training if they want to continue in a professional path. So you don't only have to join the professional program. There is many avenues, many different programs within our school that you can start at. We have recreational, we have jazz, we have many aspects to the school. So the website is great information. There's phone number there and my website as well.
To finish this off, and I appreciate all the time you've given, is there any last piece of advice? It doesn't have to necessarily be for people in the dancing field, but any piece of advice you can give to any kind of business owner, anyone transitioning into this role, anything you kind of accumulated over your years?
Just have the guts to show up 99% of the time, and then go from there. I mean, work, be flexible, keep learning. You know, in our field, it's very important that you stay true to yourself as well. And be inspired. I think that it's important to keep yourself striving and inspired to do your best.
Well, thank you again for all your time. I mean, it's a powerful story. I mean, just the idea of being the trainer. I mean, first being the ballerina at a young age, being pushed into it, having the injury, and then excelling in your next level of actually coaching, training. Like, that's just, it's powerful that, like you said, when one door closes, a window opens. You got to be ready for it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks again.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem at all. So everyone listening, please subscribe. Please, if you're in the East Coast, or if you're looking, if you have a daughter, if you have anyone looking to get into dance, look them up. Look their website up. Look their social media platforms up.
Our social media is Carrie Ballet on Instagram, and then my Instagram is Marielena Ruiz Official as well. We have a lot of information on our social media as well.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.